Cause we got the alternative energy. Right. And we kill our free autonomy.
And welcome to the Radioactive Show, produced at the studios of 3CR Melbourne and heard nationally on the Community Radio Network.
Welcome to the Radioactive Show. You're joined here with myself, Yo, and Michaela in the studio today, about to hear an archival show.
From the 21st to the 23rd of February, World Beyond War have called the Global Days of Action to hashtag close bases. They say closing bases is a necessary step to shift the global security paradigm towards a demilitarized approach that centers common security. No one is safe until all are safe. Join us in taking action to call for the closure of all military bases. And on their website, they have a map that lists actions being taken all around the world to this end. You can go to worldbeyondwar.org/closebases.
Regular listeners to 3CR would know that this year marks 3CR's 50th year of broadcasting, and the Radioactive Show has been on air for 49 of those. Across the year, we'll delve into our archives, and today we bring you a show about the campaign to close Narunga Joint Defence Facility in the late 80s and early 90s. This program was broadcast on the 15th of January 1994 and takes a look back at the Narunga Peace Camp 1993, following the story of some of the organisers and arrestees.
Don't spread uranium around.
This is the Radioactive Show, brought to you by the Movement Against Uranium Mining. I'm Linda Marks, and on panel we have Eric Miller. Narunga has been a target of the peace movement for a number of years. There have been demonstrations there in 1989 and 1991, and again last year at Easter 1993. Here's Reg Tidell for the Radioactive Show, reporting in February last year on the lead-up to the Peace Camp and Festival.
This Easter, the Narunga 93 Peace Protest and Desert Festival to cut the lease for peace will be held at the Narunga US Military Missile Tracking Station in far north South Australia. The lease on Narunga expires in 1998. In 1995, the Australian government can give the USA 3 years' notice on the lease. Narunga is located near the Maralinga Weapons Testing Area, the Roxby Downs Uranium Mine and the Woomera Rocket Range. Eric Miller spoke to Dean Dragarich of Peace Action Collective in Adelaide.
Why are we targeting the Narunga?
Well, as you might know, Narunga is a so-called US-Australian Joint Defence Facility. But in reality, since its inception in 1969, it has been basically a US only facility used for the collection and dissemination of material about ballistic missile launches and targeting of ballistic missiles during the Cold War period. And now in the post Cold War period, there's certainly a shift in the base's role towards providing support for the SDI program, the Strategic Defence Initiative, or as people know it, as the Star Wars program. So we're looking at giving the Australian government a push this year to give a termination notice to the lease that is held by the US government on the Narunga US spy base. We've got to give them 2 years' notice. 95 is when the lease runs out, so in this, the year of Indigenous peoples, it's very important that the lease be cut and the land handed back to the original owners, the Gugudda people.
And with the Cold War over and nuclear weapons being declined now, if these bases draw us into conventional wars as well, don't they?
Yes, the comparison can be drawn in the Gulf War and numerous other Middle East conflicts, where Narunga especially is used for detection and targeting of ballistic missiles. Information that passes through Narunga also ends up in the hands of other governments, like Israel and other Middle East countries and anyone else who is a ally with the United States or has vested interests with the United States. They receive the information without any consideration to the effects that it might have upon the Australian people. We have absolutely no say in guaranteeing ourselves access to that information or to have any right of veto on who that information goes to.
Yeah, we're spending somewhere like $100 million per annum to keep these bases operating.
That's right, and plus the Woomera rocket range as well, which is very, very close to Narunga, and in fact is about the size of England. It's a very huge piece of land, an area of land that is completely sealed off from any access by Australians in any shape or form.
The other thing too, that with these peace camps, you know, we've had ones at Pine Gap and of course the Roxby blockade, and that it really puts the agenda on the national press, doesn't it? We really get our word and ideas over to fellow Australians.
No, it certainly does. The last Narunga protest in 1989 changed what was very much a secretive spy base in Australian soil, put it on with international coverage, forced the Department of Defence to release photos on it, forced the Australian government to make placating speeches about its role, and we also managed to leak some information through Freedom of Information Acts in the United States to find out a little bit more about the role of the base, which is virtually impossible to find out through Australian government sources. The lack of candor by the US government and the extreme secrecy by the Australian government is quite incongruous, and means that what won't be said within the Australian government is quite often said freely in the United States, especially the connection between the US spy base and the Star Wars project, which has just had a 29% increase in the last US federal budget, which puts it into the billions of dollars being spent every year, means that what information can't be released within Australia is quite often reasonably freely available through Freedom of Information Acts in the United States, and really puts the Australian government in an unenviable position of not really knowing exactly what's happening in our own backyard.
Okay, Dean, I hope to see you up there at Easter.
You certainly will, and I hope to see you.
Okay.
And everyone who's listening, it should be a huge protest. We're looking at around 1,000 people. We'll have bands and entertainers up there as well, so that it won't all be just activist work, but it'll be lots of fun as well.
Okay, Dean, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
That was Dean Grigarich of the Peace Action Collective, Adelaide, talking to Eric Miller about the Narunga Campaign 93.
Around 1,000 peace activists turned up for the 4 days, and the innovative actions were reported on primetime TV, radio and in the print media. The skills and the professionalism of the media group made sure our information got out. Over 300 people were arrested, and over 80 of them were from Victoria.
3CR, 855 on the AM dial. By the community, for the community.
You're tuned into the Radioactive Show, produced in the studios of 3CR on unceded Kulin land and broadcast across the continent on the Community Radio Network. Today we are bringing you the archival show that was aired on the 15th of January 1994 and features interviews with organisers and arrestees at some of the peace camps demanding closure of the US Joint Military Base Narunga that was central to the US nuclear weapons targeting program from 1969 to 1999.
Here is the Radioactive Show reporting last September, just after the first court case of some of the Victorian people.
Not another Narunga, not another Narunga, close it down, it's a nuclear target, join in, it's a nuclear target, close it down, no Narunga, close Narunga. Close Narunga, close Narunga, not another Narunga, not another Narunga, on Google the land, front of the people, give it back to the people, Google the land, no Narunga, close Narunga.
Last Easter, about 300 people were arrested at Narunga 93 Peace Festival at the Narunga spy base. Alice Ryan was one of them, and she is in the studio. Alice, where and when were you arrested?
I was arrested on Easter Sunday. I was just inside the prohibited area as part of a bit of street theatre. We had a big papier-mâché lizard, and I was the tail of the lizard. There were seven people involved in carrying the lizard. And we took the lizard into the prohibited area after the gate had been opened.
So, heard a speech just before you went in?
Yes, before we took the lizard into the prohibited area, there'd been a parade up to the gate, and it was a very colourful parade because, as you said earlier, it was a festival as well as a peace camp, and also it was a camp there to support Aboriginal land rights. And we were part of that parade. Paper mache puppet was part of the parade. There were a whole lot of speakers as well. There were speakers from the Philippines and from New Guinea, and there was also a speech by Joan Wingfield. She's an elder of the Kuku the people. So we listened to the speeches, and as we heard earlier as well, there was some singing, and then some protesters pushed through the gate and the fence and went onto the land, and a short time after that the lizard protest went onto the land as well.
And you were part of that tail of that lizard?
Yes, I was the tail of the lizard, yes, that's correct.
Last week you went up there and there was a court case with 33 other people from Melbourne.
Yes, I was arrested for trespass. I was only a few metres on the land, but nevertheless I was arrested. And last week, 33 people went to Adelaide. They were mostly people from Melbourne, and we were all pleading not guilty, that we hadn't trespassed on the land, that we had permission to be on the land, we were entitled to be on the land, because we had been issued visas by the Kuku the People's Committee.
The court case was over Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. What happened on the first day then when you went up on to the court case?
Well, 33 people, as I said earlier, were in court on the day. It started on the Wednesday. It was heard before Magistrate Field in South Australia. And we were expecting that we would be able to run a joint case. In fact, the prosecution was prepared to run a joint case as well, but Magistrate Field wouldn't allow it to be heard a joint case. In fact, he had some rather telling words to say before the case started. He wanted to have a run one joint trial first, and he went on to say, and people may decide not to go to trial after the outcome of the first trial. So he was persuading people that if one person went to trial and the other people didn't like the outcome of it, they might be convinced to plead guilty. And he went on to say that it was never too late for a contrite plea, and he didn't care how long it would take to put the 33 through the magistrate's court there in Adelaide, even if it was one every 2 months for the next 2 years. This was just, we couldn't understand his ruling. It didn't make sense. It was far cheaper for the court system to run a joint trial, and far easier for the prosecution as well. The prosecuting barrister looked quite sad when the thought of having to come back month after month to go through the 33 people pleading not guilty.
It seemed like that he'd already made up his mind.
Well, he assured the court that he had not made up his mind, but I didn't feel at all easy because I was the one that was the trial.
What do you call it?
I was the test case. I was the first one to go to trial and the only one that went to trial that week. And I must admit that I felt quite uneasy, and I said that to my barrister, that I felt uneasy going before a magistrate who'd said that other people may decide not to go to trial after the outcome of the first trial. And my barrister tried to get the case adjourned and another magistrate to sit on the case, but that wasn't allowed to happen. Field gave a ruling that he would hear it, and it started.
So what was, after the 2.5 days the case ran, what was the outcome of it?
So my defence and the defence of the other 32 people were that we were entitled to go onto the land because we had the visas and we were invited onto the land, and that these were reasonably and honestly held beliefs. And I do believe that I was entitled to go onto that land because the Gook of the people's connection with that land goes back for thousands of years. It's not just a short length of time. The second part of the defence was that it was a defence establishment, and it was necessary for people to go onto the land to alert other people to the fact that defence establishment exists.
So what did the magistrate
The magistrate say? Well, the magistrate said he believed that I had strong convictions about Aboriginal land rights, and that I strongly believed that the base should be closed, but that was no excuse to go onto the land, and that he didn't believe that I believed I was entitled to go onto the land. And so I was found guilty, and fined $125 plus $64 court costs, and the enormous sum of $750 costs for the prosecution, which I thought was outrageous. The prosecution wanted $1,200 costs, but that case had been prepared for 33 people, not just for one, and the magistrate said that he'd reduced it considerably, but I don't think less than half is a considerable reduction of costs at all.
So the group's going to stay together and see what the best course of action is from now on?
Yes, the group's definitely staying together. We've been doing quite a lot of fundraising because we've had a lot of costs just preparing ourselves for the case and getting everyone over there. We've held a series of benefits, and these will be continuing. And yes, we're certainly continuing the action. As far as we're concerned, it didn't end with Narunga and with being arrested. That taking it to the courts is another way of telling people what we believe. That we believe the land is Gook of the land, and we believe the base should be closed.
Okay, Alice. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Eric.
And there we must leave Alice Ryan, one of the 33 people who went to Adelaide last week for their court case.
That was the Radioactive Show reporting last September. Alice Ryan appealed her conviction. Here is the Radioactive Show for the 20th of November 1993.
And we also speak to Alice Ryan, who's just come back from the Adelaide Supreme Court after her appeal against her conviction for trespass on the Narunga spy base in the Magistrates Court. Alice Ryan is one of 33 people who came together in Melbourne after being charged with trespass on prohibited Commonwealth land whilst taking part in a non-violent national peace protest to support Aboriginal land rights and close the Narunga spy base and Woomera rocket range in South Australia. The court case of the 33 people in Adelaide last September, on the 8th, 9th and 10th, was a bizarre learning experience, resulting in the magistrate going against a previous agreement of a joint trial. At great expense to the taxpayer, separate cases are now proposed in an attempt to intimidate the alleged offenders into changing their plea to guilty. The test case of Alice Ryan was heard over the 3 days and resulted in a conviction, a fine and costs totalling $915. Alice Ryan appealed to the Adelaide Supreme Court and her case was heard last Tuesday. Alice is in the studio today to discuss her case. Good morning, Alice.
Good morning, Reg.
On what grounds did you appeal?
We had 13 grounds for appeal and they came under four main areas. The first one was judicial bias on part of the magistrate that heard the case, that the fact that the trials were separated, that we weren't over expecting to have a joint trial and it was separated. The third one is that I had an honest belief that I'd been invited onto the land, and the fourth one, ground for appeal, the area for ground for appeal was the penalty, that the penalty, they gave the incorrect penalty. The appeal was heard before Justice Nyland, and she's the newly appointed first woman judge in the Supreme Court in South Australia. So it was interesting to be before a woman judge.
And what was the prosecution's case? Something to do with good character, is that right?
Oh, well, yeah, the prosecutor said that, predictably, that the magistrate was not judicially biased, that it was to my benefit to separate the trial, that I didn't have an honest belief and that the penalty was correct. And in the discussion about penalty, he said that that there was no argument as that I did not have a good character, that, in fact, all the defendants that had come before the court were of good character. In fact, some were of impeccable character. And that it's not out of character for people of good character to undertake such actions. And so it seems to be, there seems to be something wrong with our legal system where people of good character protest because of their good character and then suffer the consequences. Mm. But that was an interesting line of argument that he ran.
That was the prosecution's line?
Yes, that people of good character do things like protest against spy bases and support land rights.
It sounds more like a case for the defence.
It does, doesn't it?
Where does the group of 33, I understand it's called Operation Capricious Harmony, where does the group of 33 go now?
I'll just talk a bit about the name. During the trial, one of the people giving evidence for the defence was from the Australian Protective Services, and he, on one of the forms that I think it was might have been the arrest form, on the top of it, it said the Operation Capricious Harmony, and that was the name that the Australian Protective Services gave to the part they played at the Narunga protest. So we've adopted that name. What's happening with the 33 remaining people? They're waiting on the outcome of the appeal. That won't be known for 2, 3, maybe 6 weeks because the justice has gone away to consider the evidence presented, so we don't know the outcome of that yet. But the group's has a strong feeling about it, and we're all committed, firstly to Aboriginal land rights, to the closure or the exposure of the Narunga spy base, and we're committed to pleading not guilty and having that plea registered in the courts and having the cases heard as not guilty, because we see this as part of continuing the action at Narunga. We don't believe it stopped with all packing up and leaving the gibber up there, that it's something that we're continuing in Melbourne.
All right, thanks very much for coming in, Alice.
Thank you, Reg.
We've just been listening to a Radioactive show from the 15th of January 1994, and thanks to Eric Miller for holding on to these archives that give an amazing insight into some important nuclear-free and peace movement history, and to Sam Gibbard for digitising. The US base at Narunga officially closed on October 12, 1999. It had served as an important part of the US nuclear and conventional fighting strategy. The government tried to make out the base was just part of a defense system, but the fact that it was offensive and designed to help target US weapons became clear during the Gulf War, when the public saw how the US was using Narunga Base, along with other weapons, to carpet bomb parts of Iraq where the US had detected Scud missiles. Today, the site remains under Australian control and is used occasionally for army test and evaluation work as part of the Woomera rocket testing range. It still hasn't been handed back to Gugatha people, whose country it illegally occupies.
The Narunga base was the scene of many demonstrations. It was targeted by Australian Anti-Bases Campaign Coalition with actions in 89, 91 and 93. These actions resulted in hundreds of arrests and brought widespread attention to the base, and public support for US bases plummeted. Unfortunately, the closure of Narunga just saw a move of its functions to Pine Gap that had been undergoing upgrades in 96, where its signature radomes were built and a new cooperative arrangement would allow space-based ballistic missiles early warning. As Dennis Doherty noted in his article on the closure in 1999, this development is dragging Australia into conflict with China and means that the perception of Australia in the region as part of US foreign policy will deepen. These missile systems are part of the modified Star Wars concept of the Reagan era. The closure of Narunga is sweet and sour. Sweet that there is one less US base, and sour that it represents a new descent into militarism. Well, so-called Australia has certainly descended into militarism, and action is required. For all the details of closed bases actions globally, go to worldbeyondwar.org/closed bases.
Thanks so much for listening. The Radioactive Show was produced in the studios of 3CR Community Radio, with thanks to the ongoing support of the Nuclear Free Collective at Friends of the Earth Melbourne, and is distributed across the continent thanks to the Community Radio Network. You can find this and all our podcasts at 3cr.org.au/radioactive. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for more news and views on nuclear peace and energy issues.
Close Narunga, 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 on Gugatha the land, front to the people, give it back to the people, Gugatha the land, no, Narunga.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.